You're listening to the Cornerstone Word of Life Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this teaching from Pastor Mark. For more information on our church, please visit cwol.org.
We've been talking about your identity. We've been talking about who you are. The Lord has been talking to us about that all year round. He's been trying to get us to see from many different ways who we are, how we look, looking into the mirror of the Word of God. So we've been looking, and so I want you to turn with me first to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, chapter number 2. And we've been looking at, being a soldier, being an athlete, and being a farmer. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy 2, verse number 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier. Everybody say, I'm a good soldier. If you can be a good soldier, you can be a mediocre soldier or a bad soldier, but you're a good soldier. Say it again. I am a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that wars entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. And if any man also strive for the masteries, this is talking about athletics, yet he is not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that labors must be first partakers of the fruits. And then I want you to look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. As we look at the athlete, First Corinthians chapter number 9, verses 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain. And every man that strives for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain an incorruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, when I am one who beats the air, but I keep my body under and bring it into subjection, lest by any means when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. So what we're looking at, what it takes to be an athlete, and the whole point of this athlete analogy that the Spirit of God is giving the Apostle Paul to give Timothy and us is that there's a crown. There's a prize. There's something that as we run our race on the earth that we're going after. And we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And that's where every born-again believer either receives a crown or doesn't receive a crown. You've made it into heaven. The great white throne judgment is where everybody stands. And that's where you'll be judged based on what family you're in. You're either judged with Jesus or you're judged with the devil. You're in one of two families. And so at the great white throne judgment, we're all getting judged with Jesus because we're all born again, right? If you're not born again or you're not walking with the Lord, you can change that today. But at the end of the age, you're either getting judged with Jesus or the devil. The two families will be separated. One will go to heaven with the Lord Jesus. The other will go to hell where it was made for the devil. But you know, people who didn't receive Jesus, that's where they go. That's the great white throne. And then everybody who passed the great white throne judgment and is judged with Jesus then also have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And there, that's where you'll get a reward. Is everybody going to get a reward?
Yes.
Why do you want a reward? Well, Revelation, there's a picture of the elders laying their crowns at Jesus' feet. How did you get that crown? You got it at the judgment seat of Christ for your obedience. Do we got any obeying people in here?
Yes.
Got any people following the Lord?
Yes.
Amen. Are you excited about that? Listen, Jesus gave you everything.
Amen.
Jesus gave me everything. And then on the earth, I can tithe, I can do things, but everything I do, you have to look at it, it's not temporal, it's eternal.
Amen.
And you're doing it, the Bible says, not for a corruptible or a natural crown like an athlete would get, but you're doing it for an incorruptible or an eternal crown. And I do see that in Revelation, and I do believe there's a day coming when those of us who obeyed will have a crown to take off and lay at Jesus' feet. That's what you're living for. That's why you obey. That's why you serve. That's why you give to the poor. That's why you make sure some kids have tennis shoes. Oh, they can wear nothing against Dollar General. But they could wear those. Yeah, but I want them to wear Nikes. I want some other kid to look and go, where'd you get those cool things? Jesus. I don't want him to say Cornerstone. I want him to say Jesus. The Lord gave him to me. Who's the Lord? Jesus. For real? For real. That's what I want. But see, when you give a pair of tennis shoes, when you send a minister to a conference, when you build a building, when you give to the poor, when you're at Walmart and you're getting gas and you buy somebody else's gas, when you, you know, you're laying up stuff in heaven. And when you take that crown and he puts it on your head, you're like, oh, that's not going to stay there very long because I can't wait for the worship service and I'm going to come and lay that at your feet. He gave me everything. I want to give him something. And that's what this is talking about. And how do you get that, though? Well, this being an athlete, it's like two kinds of athletes that Paul is talking about. Because in his day, there were two main kind of athletes. There was the runner, you know, the long-distance runner. And then there were the other class, which were the wrestlers, the boxers, and then the mixed, we would call mixed martial arts, the octagon kind of people, dangerous, the real cool ones. And so, but back then it was even way more dangerous than it is today. And so, but those are the kind of athletes. And it's talking about one who receives the crown. Well, back in that day, as it is today, you know, you think our professional athletes are really, you know, overpaid or everybody thinks way too highly of them. It's always been that way. These people back then were like royalty. They got huge places to live. They were given servants. They were important people. And so the Apostle Paul, by the Holy Ghost, is using that because they understand it and because you understand it. And he's talking about, though, the longevity of everyone who runs doesn't win. It's one thing to start something. It's another thing to finish it. And so I want to talk to you today about a subject that's near and dear to my heart. I want to talk to you about finishing and really finishing. And I want you to finish well. And I want you and I to be like the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy 4:7. He said this, I have fought a good fight. What was that? The soldier. I have finished my course. What's that? The athlete. I have kept the faith. What is that? The farmer. Everybody say, I have finished my course. So at the end of your life, I don't want you to say, well, I'm done. I'm going home to heaven. I want you to be able to say with assurance, I have finished my course. In other words, I'm done with my race. I'm going to heaven. I'm going to receive my crown and get ready to give it to Jesus. I want you and I to be that sure. How do we finish? Acts chapter 20, verse number 4. Acts 20, 24, I'm sorry. Acts 20. 24. Excuse me, I shouted my voice. But none of these things move me. Has you had anything recently try to move you? Has the devil ever tried to move you? Has circumstances come? You see, when the devil comes, he doesn't come with horns and a pitchfork and a tail. He comes with circumstances. And we're talking about running a race. Now listen to me, especially there's some people in this room. Listen to me. You never want to get off of your race because of a circumstance. You never want to get off your race because somebody is on the sideline jeering at you. Yakety yak, yakety yak. The whole point of the yakety yak, the whole point of jeering, the whole point of God wanting you to stay on course is because there's something about your course that only you can run. The devil knows you have a course, and so he's going to send people and yakety yakkers and circumstances. He wants you to get off your course. Listen, one thing I've learned is if I'm not getting on my course for nobody. If somebody makes me uncomfortable, they'll have to move. I'm not moving. You know, even, I'll just, can I be blunt with you? If there's somebody in this church you don't like, we have two services. You can serve in two different services. I wouldn't get out of my course for nobody. Because see, when you start rearranging your life based on what somebody else has done to you, you've given the devil the ammunition he needs for the rest of your life to move you. Toughen up, buttercup. It's just begun. I'm serious. At work, can I get down where you live? At work, don't you quit your job because somebody annoys you. If that's the job God gave you, you hold fast, smile, nod, Jesus loves you, and believe God for them a great transfer. Seriously, I've told people before, believe God for them to get a promotion. Promote them right out of your midst. Well, they don't have to get a demo. Well, I want them fired. Yeah, but that's not a good thing to put on. That's not a good seed to sow. Lord, promote them. Lord, move them. I'm sure their family would do good in D.C. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. None of these things. No one. Come on, say none of these things. Say, I'm not moving. I'm not moving. None of these things move me, neither count my life dear unto myself, so I can do what? How do I finish? I've got to be someone who doesn't move. I've got to be someone who is not turned to the left, not turned to the right. None of these things move me. Now listen, I've been through some things in my life, but I've never come close. Not one thousandth close to what the apostle, this guy knows what he's talking about. I have not come close. I don't think the worst persecuted person in this room has come anywhere close to the Apostle Paul. You know, we all get upset when somebody talks about us. Well, I think if we went to heaven right now, the Apostle Paul would say, come back to you, come back and talk to me when you've been killed. Come back to me when, you know, you've been beaten. After you've been bobbing up and down the ocean for a while, come see me. I don't think he'd be that rude, but I'm just telling you, sometimes put things in perspective. Now, is it nice when people talk about you? It's not. It's not. But if you pushed, because see, you're not just dealing with them, you're dealing with the spirit behind them. And you're not going to be moved. I will not be moved. This is my job. God gave it to me. You are not moving me. Amen. Praise the Lord. Everybody doing all right? How are you going to finish your course? With joy. Now, listen to me. I'm not talking about necessarily, I hear a Holy Ghost. What are those little asterisk things? Now, as a parent, how many of you know we're going to protect our kids? I'm not saying keep your children in dangerous situations. I'm not saying even for you to stay in a dangerous situation. But you don't have to change everything in order. Don't let anyone get you out of the will of God. Are you all with me? You know, sometimes we talk about things and you gotta, because there's like all these different people with all these different things going on. Take the word, take it to yourself, and you know the Holy Ghost. He'll tell you exactly what to do. But I'm talking in general. Are y'all with me? Everybody say, none of these things move me. Why? Because I'm going to finish my course. How am I going to do it? With joy. Everybody, ha, ha, ha. Ah. Oh, it's good to be full of joy, isn't it? In the middle of a mess, you should laugh. At destruction and famine, you should laugh. Hallelujah. Well, let me talk about this. You got to be determined to finish. One of the greatest things... you know, and back in the old covenant, they all followed David, King David, because he was a giant killer. One of the reasons you and I can follow Jesus in this area is he's a finisher. He's a finisher. He's a closer. If you want to use pitching like a baseball terms, he's a closer. He not only can start something, he's a finisher. So let me give you some scriptures about Jesus finishing. And what I want you to think is not good for Jesus, but I want you to think of where he lives today. Where does Jesus live? He lives in you. And so the closer, the finisher, lives in you. And so if he lives in you, then he can help you finish. Because maybe it's not within your ability to finish. Maybe it is hard. But how many of you know the Lord will give you the strength you need to finish it? And so let me remind you of some things about Jesus. In John 4 and 34, he said, "My meat or my sustenance is to do the will of him who sent me and finish his work." Everyone say finish. John 17, 4 said, "I have glorified you in the earth. I have finished the work which you gave me to do." Everybody say finish. John 19, 30, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Everybody say, "It's finished." Aren't you glad he didn't partway do anything? Revelation 1, 8 says that he's the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. He is the first. He is the last. Jeremiah says that he is not just at your end. He is your end. Amen. Come on. He's the first. He's the last. He's the beginning. He's the end. He is Alpha. He is Omega. And I'm telling you that he lives in you. So the one who began a good work in you will also do what? Finish it. Complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. He's not leaving you. He's not leaving you hanging where you're at. If he started something in you, he's going to finish it. If he began a good work in you, he's going to finish it. If he gave you a project to do for him, he's going to want you to finish it. Amen? Why? Because he's the author and he's the finisher. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 says that he is the author and the finisher. Everybody say finisher.
Finisher.
Who lives in me? Who lives in you? The finisher. He lives in where. So where do I get the strength? I can do all things through Christ, or the anointed one, but I can do all things. I can finish all things because the finisher is living in me. And it's not my strength. It's not my might. It's not my power that's going to get it done, but the finisher who lives within me. I can finish what God started in me. I can cooperate because the finisher lives in me. Come on. And one of the things you know about Jesus is when he died on the cross, he said, "It is finished." What was finished? Well, the old covenant, now we're in the new. But it's also finished that the devil is no longer your boss. The devil can no longer just do whatever he wants. It's finished. And what did he do? Jesus sat down at the right hand of the Father, and he raised you up to sit down with him. Why? Because it is finished. Your salvation is finished. Your healing is finished. Your prosperity is finished. Your redemption is finished. Everything you would possibly need in God is already finished. And so what you're facing right now, no matter what storm it is, no matter what it looks like, come on, as an athlete, as someone who's determined to finish, you've got to make up your mind that none of these things move me. None of your jeering and none of your cheering moves me. I'm not going to be moved by you. I'm only moved by him. I'm following the author and the finisher of my faith. I'm following the first and the last. If I can follow him, if I can follow his voice, I'm going to get to the finish line. None of these things move me. I'm strong in the Lord and the power of his might. The finisher lives on the inside of me. Amen. And then one of the things you got to do to be determined is I want you to turn with me. We're going to look at Luke chapter 14. Of course, they'll put it up. But Luke 14, 28 through 30, it says this. "For which of you, intending to build a tower, sits not down first and counts the cost, whether he has sufficient to finish it. Lest haply after you've laid the foundation is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and he was not able to finish." Listen to me. If God asks you to do something, if God asks you to be a part of something, if God began something, if you said, "I do," if you said, I'll take this, whatever it is, then there's something within you that enables you to finish what you started. You don't have two lives. You don't have a spiritual life and a secular life. You've got one life, and everything you do, whether it has to do with church or at work or with your family, it's all wrapped up in one. And God wants you to finish everything you start. He wants everything you put your hand to be blessed, and He wants everything that concerns you to be perfected. He has a good plan for you, and He wants to work it out for you. But you've got to determine, you've got to sit down and say, I'm not going to be moved by any of these things. I'm going to be like the Apostle Paul, and I'm going to finish my course. I'm not going to get off my course for anybody or anything. I'm just not. I'm determined that because He's the first and the last, if He started this thing in me, He's going to finish this thing. I am going to finish. And guess what? I'm not going to be miserable while I'm doing it. I'm going to finish my course with joy. I'm going to be happy about it. I'm going to laugh more. I said I'm going to laugh more. I'm going to be excited more. Because, see, if I know I already win when I get to the end, then, you know, all you got to do is enjoy. Because, see, this is my biggest problem, and I'm working on it. I need to keep working on it. But I don't remember times that, I'm so blessed to get to pastor this church and then travel all over the world. I remember I was sitting on an airplane getting ready to go do something really exciting, and I had already worked through the whole conference. And in my mind, I was on my way back to Madison, Alabama, to pick up the next thing. And even with my staff, I make a joke about it now, but I don't know what the next big thing coming up is. You know, maybe it's the building. I'm saying, wow, that building's beautiful. Let's move on. But it's not even done yet. There's nothing. In my mind, though, it's done, and I've moved on. That's great as far as a visionary, as far as a planner, and I can keep everybody going all the time. But I remember sitting in the airplane, and the Lord spoke to me. He said, how come you never enjoy where you're at on the way to where you're going? I'm always a month down the road. And so I have to work hard at enjoying the moment. So I think that's why He makes me laugh so much. Because it just makes you stop and rejoice at where you're at. And some of you need to join me. Some of you need to catch up to us. But some of you need to join. Some people are so cool. But some of you need to catch up, and some of you need to slow down. And let's all get in the moment and rejoice at where we're at and look what the Lord has done and expect Him to keep on doing it. Amen. Everybody shout, I'll finish. And I'm going to enjoy the destiny. I'm going to enjoy the road. You're going to do that? But I have to first sit down and count the cost. Can I do this? Can I finish this? And I'm not just talking about projects, but in life. You know what? I'm willing to do what's necessary. Remember last week we looked at, we got to keep our body under. As an athlete, we have to keep our body under. We have to make sure that it's subjected to us. So let's look at these things. Everybody say, I will finish. How are we going to finish? Well, I've just used these keys a lot in my life. I've told them to a lot of people over the years. And so, therefore, there's no need to get anything new. I'm going to tell them to you again. If you're going to finish, number one, you have to look heavenward. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. We're going to have to make sure that looking unto Jesus. How am I going to finish? It's interesting because when we're really in the natural, when we're racing a race, we want to look at the path ahead of us. But really, if you're going to be successful and finish your course in God, you're going to have to lift up your eyes and look unto Jesus. Set your affections on things above. How am I going to finish? I'm going to finish by looking at the author and the finisher of my faith. I'm going to have to look at only Jesus. In other words, I get my eyes really kind of off the course and off of the circumstances and off of everyone and everything around me, and I am singularly focused. In order to finish my race, I've got to look to Jesus. I've got to look only to Him. In Philippians 3:13-14, it said, what does it say to do? Forgetting those things that are behind, pressing towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of Christ Jesus. So in order to finish, I got to leave everything behind. I'm not looking at what's behind. I'm really not looking what's ahead. I'm looking at the mark. What is the mark? That's the finish line. What's the finish line? The judgment seat of Christ. I'm going to look to it. That's how I finish. Number two, what am I going to do? I'm going to stay with the word all the days of my life. John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. Jesus said to the Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. 32, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will do what? But what do you got to do? It's not what you have heard, it's what you are hearing. It's not what you have believed, it's what you currently believe. It's not what you have spoken, it's what you are speaking. I have to continue. Everybody say continue. Turn to your neighbor and say, see you next week. We're right here. That's what I mean. Hallelujah. Why? Because you got to continue in the word. You got to continue in the word. And when you continue in the word, you are continue hearing. You continue believing. You continue speaking. And that's how you end up finishing your course. What do you got to do? Well, the Bible, the parable of the sower. It's not what you have sown. It's what you're currently sowing into your heart. That's going to grow up and produce some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. How do you finish your course? And got to continue to receive the word. The word is the lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. If your pathway gets a little cloudy, if it gets a little dark, that means you don't have as much light on something as you used to have. You must, and I must, continue in the word. Amen. And then Revelations 3 and 3, Jesus said what? Hold fast. Everybody say hold fast. What does that mean? If I got to hold fast to the word, what does that mean? Somebody or something's trying to take it away from me. If you've ever been to healing school, I don't know if she's done it for a while. Opal used to, grab a cloth and make somebody take it off. I've never seen anyone take it from her, but because in her life she's held fast to the word, but I've never seen anyone take the cloth from her. I heard the other day or a while back she got knocked down, but she didn't get knocked out. So that's what I heard. Is that true? Is that true? So, did you do that to Opal? You did. But the truth is, you've got to be that ferocious that nobody can take the word from you. What do you got to do? You've got to continue in the word. What do you got to do? You got to continue sowing seed. What do you got to do? You got to continue getting light for your path. And what do you got to do? You got to hold fast to it. You got to hold on. Hold on to what you have. Because the enemy comes to do what? Steal the word. Steal your light. Steal your revelation. Listen to me. If you're not as excited as you were 5 years ago, what do you ought to do? You ought to grab the word of God. You ought to grab a hold of yourself and make yourself just get back into it and get excited about it again. I heard someone that is just a world famous word of faith preacher, and I heard him out of his own mouth say there's times in his life when he's not excited about the word and he just grabs himself by the nape of the neck, sits himself down and says, I'm excited about the word of God. And he says he makes himself get excited about it again. He's the big dog. He has all the TV shows. He's just like you and me. He's just like you and me. So what do we got? Do you want to finish your course? I want to finish my course. Is there someone trying to keep you from finishing your course? Oh, see, you got started and you're born again and filled with the Spirit and you go to church. But don't make any mistake about it, the devil would love to get you off course. He would love to shipwreck your faith. But he's not going to be able to, is he? Why? Because you're going to continue. Everybody say continue. Tell your neighbor to carry on. Tell him to continue. Hallelujah. So then what's the other thing you got to do? Well, if you're going to finish, you're going to have to stay with the Holy Ghost. Now this one's a big one right now, especially in modern church. It's huge. Galatians 3 and 3. He says this, oh, you foolish Cornerstonians. How is it that you begun in the Spirit and now you're going to be made perfect by your flesh? How is it that the Holy Ghost is the one that started you out in your new birth? How is it that Jesus baptized you in the Holy Ghost and fire? How is it that the Holy Ghost led you morning, noon, and night? And now you all so grown up, so proper, think you know everything, that now you're going to be made perfect, or you think you got this? There is never a time in your life, in mine or yours, when we have arrived. We need a helper. Jesus said, it's expedient for you that I go away. Because if I don't go away, I can't send you the Paracletos, the helper. Aren't you glad the helper has come? And we're gonna come on, y'all. We need to stay hungry for a move of God. We need to stay hungry for God to fall on us. We need, thank God he lives in us, but we still want him to fall. We still want him to come. Amen. Every time we get together, we want the presence of God. You say, well, Pastor, we can't get it too hot in here. Yeah, we need to get it hotter yet. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I would like to see it like the day of Pentecost every day. Hallelujah. I'd like to see the Holy Ghost be able to fall on whoever he wants to fall on, whenever he wants to. Well, I'm afraid it's going to scare people off. Well, I'm afraid it's going to scare people in. Hallelujah. I'm not afraid. I'm sure it's going to. Hallelujah. Oh, foolish Galatians, how is it that you start the spirit? Now you're going to be made perfect by the flesh. And then that's what Zachariah said. It's not by might. It's not by my might. It's not by my power, but it's by his spirit. Everybody say, thank God for the Holy Ghost. I was talking to a friend one time, and he was one of my close friends, and he's Pentecostal, a certain brand of Pentecostal that doesn't really care for our brand of Pentecost. But anyway, he's still my best friend, and I remember I kept calling the Spirit of God the Holy Ghost. He said, are you just doing that? Because see, that's what he's the Holy Ghost to him. But he said, don't you people call him the Holy Spirit? I'm like, what? I don't know if you've got, he thought he had the ghost part. I don't know. And I know some people have said, Pastor, that's not really proper anymore. People call him the Holy Spirit. He's the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. He's holy. He's the power of God. Hallelujah. He's the comforter. He's real. And you need him in your life. Amen. We're not going to finish this without the Holy Ghost. How do we finish our course? The next one is, Jesus was talking to the church at Ephesus. And this church had it together. They were the church that he thought was the most mature. They were doing good works. They had the best doctrine of the day. But he said, I have this one thing against you. Everybody think that's pretty good, just one. But he said, you lost your first love. In other words, you really got really great at doctrine. You got really good at keeping things out that were wrong. You're doing everything just right, but you're not doing it with love. If you're going to finish your course, you got to stay in love with Jesus. That's just like a married couple. You know, you ask people, you know, it's kind of funny to ask people, how'd you make it 50 or 60 years? But if they're ever going to be really real, not try to be funny, they just kept loving one another. They weren't always in love, but they decided to love with the agape God kind of love. And you and I, if we're going to make it to the end of our course, you're going to have to stay in love with Jesus. How do you do that? One of the ways that helps me is worship. I love our worship team. I love worshiping with you all. I love the fact that it's not a show. Well, I just decided, Pastor Rhonda decided we were never going to let it be a show because we really, it's a time. And then you take that into your life, in your car, while you're stuck at Redstone trying to get in. Just, you know, turn, just lift up. People think you're crazy a little bit, but instead of being mad, just lift up both hands and worship God. Hallelujah. You start moving a whole lot faster, probably. Stay in love with Jesus. This is another one that's really important. And the musicians, go ahead and come. 1 Corinthians 15, 33. This is not just a youth scripture. This is a for everybody scripture. It said, in King James, it says, evil communications corrupt good manners, be not deceived. But I like the NIV. It says, bad company corrupts. Really, if you're going to finish your race, who you hang out with really is important. Hang out with people that know God. And then the last one is just be a person who rejoices. Remember, Jesus For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. You can rejoice with joy unspeakable, receive the end of your faith. If you're going to get to the end of your road, you got to be a person of joy. What's at the end of your, what's at the end? Victory. What's at the end? Victory. How many know the Bible says he always causes you to triumph? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You're more than a conqueror and overcomer in this life. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Hallelujah. Victory. You win. You finish your course. You get a crown. You get to lay it at Jesus' feet.
We hope you were inspired by today's message. If you want to hear more from the Word of God, head over to cwol.org, check us out on YouTube or any social platform under @CWOLMadison. We believe God is working within you, and we want you to know him so you too can make him known.